Okay, so this week's Parsha, and the end of Parsha's Maaseh, we speak about the Parsha of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and about the details of the Ari Miklat. So the Psukim tell us, V'hitzilu ha'edos ha'rotzeach miyad go'al adam. You have to have a bezin gets together, they convene to discuss the case, to figure out whether this person really belongs in Galus. V'hishivu oso ha'edah al ir miklato asher nashama. Then the bezin comes out to the psak that really, in fact, he was a rotzeach b'shogeg. He belongs in galus. V'yashiba admos ha'koyin agadol asher masach oso b'shemen amishcha. Says the Gemara, Makkah's a very famous Gemara darshaning on this pasuk. V'yashiba admos ha'koyin agadol asher masach oso b'shemen amishcha. Frek the Gemara, v'chihu moshcho. What do you mean? Am I the rotzeach? I'm the one who anointed the koyin gadol. He became anointed by the Jewish people. Now he happens to be the koyin gadol. When I am having this problem of going into Galus. So what do you mean, Asher Mashach Oso? Ela, Zeh Shanimshach B'yamav. It means, when is he going to go free? At most, HaKohen HaGadol, he has to stay in the Galus, this Rotzeach B'Shogeg, until the Kohen Gadol passes away, who was anointed a Kohen Gadol B'Chayav in his life. My Havala the Mevet asked the Gemara, what's the connection? A very simple question. What's the connection between the Rotzeach B'Shogeg and the Kohen Gadol? Why should we assume that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg gets to leave the Ari Miklat all of a sudden, when the Kohen Gadol passes away? What does that have to do with anything? Says the Gemara, no, because Ha'ilo the Bakish Rachamim, the Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol should have been Mevakish Rachamim sheyigmar dino l'schus velo bikish. When the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur and he davens for the whole year, he says one tefillah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he should have davened with enough kavana that this person, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, should have been found to be Pater, there should have been a schus for him, and he shouldn't have had to go to Galus. And because that didn't happen, it's somehow considered his kind of fault that this person ends up in Galus, and therefore he has to stay in Galus and near Miklat until the Kohen Gadol passes away. So all the Acharonim ask the obvious question. What do you mean? This person's a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. If he belongs in the Ari Miklat, he belongs there. If he doesn't belong there, so he doesn't belong there. What do you mean? The Kohen Gadol should have davened? Sheyetze dino l'schus, the Kohen Gadol should have davened that we paskin the wrong way? And that we paskin that this person should go scot-free and not have to go to Galus? Why should he daven such a thing? That's Ivas Adin. That's not the right thing to daven for. You should daven that there should be no murderers in Klal Yisrael. That should be the tefillah. What kind of tefillah is this? He's davening that we should have Ivas Adin, that we should say everything the wrong way and come up with the wrong psak and not send him to Galus? Why do we have such a tefillah? So some Achronim say, a beautiful answer, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Amad Aleph, where the Gemara says, Am Rav Kahana, Sanhedrin Shero Kulam Lechova, Potron Osamayat, says the Gemara. Simple understanding of the Gemara is, you have a Dayan, you have Dayanim sitting around, 23 Dayanim. Sanhedrin Shero Kulam Lechova, they're sitting and prosecuting somebody, an individual who comes into the Bezdin, and not one of the Dayanim, not one of the people sitting in the room can come up with one inkling of a way to say that this person is Pater. Nobody can come up with any svara to say that he's not responsible for what he did. Says the Gemara, if you have a case like that, Sanhedrin Shero Kulam Lechova, sorry, this person gets off scot-free. Some Rishonim explain why is that the case. Why should you assume? What do you mean? Other Rabbi, it's very counterintuitive. If everybody in the room agrees that he's chayiv, so of course he's chayiv. What do you mean? Pocha nosam yad, his pottery goes away right away. So number one, the Tosfos HaRosh writes a very strange shita from Rabbeinu Meir, one of the Balei HaTosfos, where he says, the Gemara doesn't mean what you think. The Gemara really means pocha nosam yad, means we kill him right away. We get rid of his life right away, because there's nothing to discuss. Obviously, if everybody sees that he's chayiv, so he's chayiv. Goodbye. But the simple understanding of the Gemara, the way all the rest of the Rishonim learned it, is no. Sanhedrin Sharo Kulam Lechove, if all the Sanhedrin, universally, everybody says that this person is Chayiv, Pochon Osam Yad is off the hook. Why is that? So the Rishonim explained the reason why. I think Rashi in the Sugya says, the reason why is because if nobody in the room can even come up with one Sad Lahakel, with even one Svara to say that this person is Pater, that means they're not Dayanim who are thinking clearly enough about the case. Because you can always come up with some defense to the person. You always have a lawyer who comes up with something. So you have a whole room of Dayanim and not one person in the room can come up with even one Sad to say that maybe he's not guilty, maybe he's not responsible. Therefore says the Gemara Pochon Osamiyat. If that happens, it means the Dayanim are not thinking clearly about the case, and it means, obviously, this was a mistrial, and the person is let free. That's what the Gemara says. So say the Achronim over here. What the Kohen Gadol should have davened for was the following. Memanavshach. He should go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and daven. If the person is Pater, so he should daven. That the Dayanim should have clear minds, they should have clear heads, they should see the truth, and they should say that he's Pater. Because that's in fact the Halacha. That's the Metzias. That's what happened. So on the one hand, if he really didn't do it, the Dayanim should say, Zakai. They should come out from the Psak Din and say, he's innocent, he didn't do anything wrong, and that's the end of the story. And if he's chayiv, if in fact it's so clear that really he did kill somebody, and really he does belong in the Ir Miklat, says Say some achronim, that's what the Kohen Gadol should be davening for. That Sanhedrin, Shiroh, Kulam, Lechavah, we should all see with such clear eyes that if this person is so clearly responsible, everyone in the room should say, Chayiv. And if everyone in the room says Chayiv, then he doesn't have to go to your mikla. So that's what it means over here. Kohen Gadol should have davened Sheyig, Mardino, Leschus, that in the end his Gmardin should come out Leschus, Velo Bikesh. And the Kohen Gadol was inappropriately davening. He didn't daven with enough kavana, and therefore we assume this is why the whole problem happened. But really, the crux of his tefillah, what he's davening for, is that the dayanim should have a clarity of mind, that they should have a clarity of thought and understand what's the truth in the case and what in fact is not. So once we're on the issue of Sanhedrin Sharo Kulam Lechava, this Gemara, there's a Gishmaka Machlokis, the Archaim HaKadosh and Rebionis HaNebish. It's an unbelievable Machlokis. Let's say I'm one of the dayanim on the Bezen HaGadol, and I'm, let's say, 23 dayanim. Let's say, forget the Bezen HaGadol, 23 dayanim. So what's, you need Achir Rab Nahatos. The reason why we have an odd number is because Achir Rab Nahatos, you need to be able to have tipping the scale. If you have a row from one direction, they're the ones who are going to be Paskin-like. So what happens? We go around the room, and this dayan, one dayan says, Chayiv. Go to the next dayan, says, Chayiv. You're getting close to halfway, right? And so far, everybody's saying, Chayiv. So what's going to happen? Now, I'm the last guy in the room. They go around the room. Everyone puts in their vote, Chayiv. I'm the last person in the room. What? Oh, so if I'm the last person in the room that they're going to ask what I think, and I say Chayiv, the guy's going to go off scot-free. I know he's a murderer. I know he stole. I know he's terrible. He's an Avarian. He's a Russia. So I'm the last dying that they take a vote from. And I know good well in my heart that if I say Chayiv, this person is finished. Potter knows some yad. Simple understanding of the Gemara, he's out. What? So that's a shaila. This is the machlokas that they have. The Archaim HaKadosh and Rebionis and Ibishitz. Am I allowed to lie in order to make sure that the din comes out to be correct? Because the din is supposed to be he deserves a death penalty, or he deserves to pay back, or whatever it is that he deserves. That really should be the halacha. If I say what I really truly believe to be true, then it turns out he's going to be putter. So what do I do? So this is the machlokas. Am I allowed to lie in order to bring out the emes hadin? Am I allowed to do that? So that's exactly what the discussion is. Maybe the emes dikadin is if everybody says chayiv, he's putter. That's what the Torah tells us. On the other hand, other achronim say no. Maybe I do have a right to lie because if I know that really he is guilty, it's so clear beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's guilty. What do you mean? They have video cameras and everything. It's so clear. Everything is on camera. Everything's on video, and we know that he's guilty for what he's being tried for. And I'm going to say chayiv. So that's it. He's going to get off free. It doesn't make any sense. So this is the achronim have a discussion about this, and some achronim actually want to bring a raya from the pasuk. What does it say? Achri Ram Nahatus, what does the beginning of that pasuk say? Midvar Sheker Tirchav. Don't ever tell a lie. And Naki Vitzadik Al Tarug, Ki Lo Atzdik Rasha. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of the people who deserve to be punished. I'm going to take care of the person who really is a tzaddik and is judged unfairly. What is the combination of ideas in this pasuk here? Beginning of the pasuk, Midvar Sheker Tirchav. What do you mean? No one's allowed to tell a lie. What does that have to do with the Bezdin? No. Say some achronim. What it's coming to teach us is Midvar Sheker Tirchav. We're not talking about regular people. No one's ever going to say a lie stam for no good reason. We're talking about a dayan who's very well intentioned, and we tell him midvar sheker tirchak. Don't you dare tell a lie, even though v'naki v'tzadik al taruk. The reason why you're telling a lie, your rationale is because how can we kill a guy who's innocent, or how can we let a guy off who's really guilty? He's going away as a tzaddik, but really he's a Russian. How can we allow such a thing? No, says the Rebbeinu Shlomo, it's not your business. You do what you have to do. Because ki lo atzdik rasha. I'm going to make sure in the end of the day it's not your job. Your job is to follow the rules. Your job is, like you said, if the halacha is that Sanhedrin Sharao Kulam Lechava, he goes off scot-free, so that's it. So he's gone. And therefore we assume that you have to tell the truth. It doesn't make a difference. There's a similar discussion the Klozemerger Rebbe has in his tshuvas, a beautiful shaila, in that he has a dayan who sent him a question where there was some multi-million-dollar deal that they were discussing in a Bezdin once, and there were two parties fighting about it, and he knew that one of the parties involved is a scoundrel, he's a lowlife, so if we're going to write out the psak din that he's totally chayiv, $3 million to the other party, there's no way he's going to get anything. There's no way he's going to pay anything. He's just going to go around telling stories that the Bezin took shochad and that they're a bunch of liars and cheaters. He's not going to pay anything. So the dayan sent the Klozemerger Rebbe of Shaila. Maybe I'm allowed to write the psak din, and I should write the following. Yes, we looked through the story, we looked through the case, and it turns out I think he's only chayiv $1 million. The rest of the $2 million, for whatever reason, you're going to fudge, you're going to write a whole psak, which is going to state your reasoning why you think he's only chayiv $1 million out of the $3 million. Meanwhile, you know deep down in your heart that really he's chayiv the $3 million, but you're trying to help. Because if you write that he's chayiv $3 million, he won't pay anything. If you write he's chayiv $1 million, he'll pay at least something. At least he'll get $1 million that he's owed. So this is the shaila that was sent to the Kloizemerger Rebbe, and in fact, he said maybe that's the same kind of question that Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz and Aruch Chaim HaKadosh are dealing with. If I have well-intentioned Dayan, who is trying to do the right thing and he's trying to bring justice into the world, but by doing so he has to lie, is that a justified reason to say something which is not exactly the truth? And in fact, you look in Choshen Mishpat, the Pesach Tshuva has, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Yud Ches, a machlok is between the Beis Yaakov and the Shvus Yaakov. What's the halacha? Let's say I have a very simple Bez and three Dayanim. Not 23, not 71, I have three Dayanim sitting together. So what's the din? Achir Ram Nahatas. We always assume that you go after the majority. So if two say Chayiv and one says Pater, the person is going to be Chayiv. If two say Pater, one says Chayiv, the person is going to be Pater. Now what happens if two say Chayiv and one says Eni Yodea? What's the din? What's the din? If two say Chayiv and one says Eni Yodea, you Mosif and Dayanim. You add two more judges onto the case, because now it's not like we have to have a Psak Din that's signed by three people. So Acharam Lahatos dictates that the third Dayan has to sign on to what the other two Dayanim said. But if over here you have one Dayan who says, Eni Yodea, I'm not sure what the halach is. I listen to the case and I'm confused, I don't know what to say. So if he says Eni Yodea, it means he's recusing himself from the case, so we have to be most of Dayanim. So what happens in a case like this? All three Dayanim are listening carefully. Two Dayanim come to the conclusion, Chayiv. I'm sitting on the Bezana, I can't believe it. These guys, these two Dayanim who are sitting with me on the Din Torah, they're such crooks. I know they took Shochet, I know they're crooked. So you know what? How am I going to win? I know good and well that he's Pater. They say that he's Chayiv. So how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? I'm going to lie and I'm going to say Eni Yodea. By saying Eni Yodea, I'm recusing myself from the case, and then I'll convince the parties to go ahead. Now that I disqualified myself, I said Eni Yodea, bring two more Dayanim in and let them sit on the case, and they'll understand the right side. They'll know that you're Pater, and then we're going to have a good question here. So that's the shaila that is that's raised by the Yachronim. The Shvus Yaakov and the Beis Yaakov have the machlokas that the Pesach Tshuva quotes. Would the Dayanim be allowed to lie and say Eini Yodea in order to make sure that their party wins? How are they going to make sure their party wins? Because now that I'm out of the story, now that I'm disqualified, you can bring in more Dayanim, and those Dayanim can outweigh the first Dayanim. So that's a great idea. So this is the same kind of shaila. Do we allow a person to say a lie when he has very good intentions in mind, in order to bring justice, in order to bring the ripe sack into the world? A very interesting shaila, and really it all revolves around that Gemara. Sanhedrin Shiro Kulam Lechava Pochen Osam Yad, and that's where the shaila really started. There's a question that one of the Ger Rebbes asked when it comes to the halacha in our parsha of a person going to the Ari Miklat, and we asked that the Achronim asked the question, why do we want Yetzei Zakai? Why do we want that he shouldn't go to Galus, that he shouldn't go to Ir Miklat? Don't we know that Galus is the means of a person getting a kapara? That's the way that the Rotzeach Peshogeg will atone for his sin. So don't we want him to go to Galus? Why do we want he should be Yetzei Zakai? Same kind of question. So the Ger Rebbe has a very interesting shot, and that is, he says along the same lines of what we suggested, that when you have Sanhedrin Shero Kulam Lechava, imagine, you're sitting in a room, and they're prosecuting you. And you have 23 Dayanim sitting around in a room. Every single person, when they cast their vote, says, Chayiv, Chayiv, Chayiv. There's not one person in the room that's on my side. Not one person in the room that can even think of one side, of one reason why I should be Pater, why I should be innocent. Not one. Imagine what I feel like when I walk out of the room. Imagine what it feels like. So says the Ger Rebbe, when you think about it, what's the whole point of Gullus? What's the whole point of Ari Miklat? It's clear, if you read in the Mishnayos, the Mishnah says, when you have a person who goes to Ari Miklat, and he shows up to shul the next day, and in shul they want to give him an aliyah, oh, we have a guest in town, let's give him shlishi, let's be mechabedim, says the Mishnah, he has to say, no, rotzeach ani, I'm a rotzeach. He has to humiliate himself. That's what the whole experience of Galus is really supposed to be about, that we humiliate ourselves in the Galus, we make sure that we attain a kapara by being humiliated in this experience of going to a land where nobody knows us, of going to a land and having to tell everybody that we are a rotzeach, and we in fact do not deserve any kavod. If that's the point of the Galus, then says the Pnei Menachem, says the Ger Rebbe as follows. When you think about a person who sits in a Din Torah, and all 23 people in the room say, you're absolutely guilty, there's no way that we can think of any tzad for a schuz. Imagine how embarrassing that is. Imagine how humiliating it is, says the Pnei Menachem, you no longer need the kapara of Galus. You already got a kapara. You can walk out of the room scot-free because whatever Galus was going to accomplish, you already accomplished here in the room with the Beis Din. So that's the way he explains it. So it sounds like a chassidish idea, but Rabbeinu Yonah really writes this in the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah has the following question. Why do we assume the Gemara says, Hamalvim Pnei Chaver Barabim, Kiilu Shofech Damim? Right? Somebody who's Malvim Pnei Chaver Barabim, somebody who embarrasses his friend, is as if he was Shofech Damim and Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. He loses Olam Haba. Ask Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't understand. If I'm a real Rotzeach, Rachmana Litzlan, I really kill somebody on purpose. I go with a gun and I shoot him in the chest. I know he's going to die. I stab him in the chest. I know the person's going to die from the Maaser Ratzicha I do. I get Olam Haba. I violate an aveira, I'm going to burn in Gehenna, but in the end I go up to Olam Haba. Somehow I have a chelek in Olam Haba. Ask Rabbeinu Yonah, so why is it that Hamal ben Pnei Chaveira, which is like a Rotzeach, he's only like a Rotzeach, he loses his Olam Haba. Why does that make sense? Why is that more chamer? Doesn't make any sense. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah as follows. You know why? Because a person who goes ahead in cold-blooded murder and kills somebody else, somewhere deep in his heart he feels some regret. He feels bad about what he did. He realizes, wow, what a silly thing that I just did. Look what happened. Look at the catastrophe I just caused. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, a person like that is already on his way to tshuva because he has somewhere deep in his heart an understanding that he's done something wrong. When we are malbim pnei chaver barab and we don't even realize how bad it is, and because we don't even register how bad the aveira is, how bad an act we're involved in, we cannot even begin the tshuva process because we don't recognize what we've done. And therefore he says, that's why Hamal ben Pnei Chaver Barabim, which is Ki'ilu Shafech Damim, is worse. Why? Because you don't even recognize that you've done something wrong. Somebody who Rachmana Litzlan goes ahead, cold-blooded murder, knows that he's done something wrong. This is why the Ramah Paskins in Hilchas Yom Kippur, Siman Tav Reish Gimel, the Ramah Paskins, that in fact, we find a big difference between an Ashem Tali and a Chatas. We know that a carbon Chatas, somebody's chayiv to bring, when doing an Aveira, a real serious Aveira B'shogeg. A Ashem Tali is when I'm not sure. The Gemara says in Zvachim Daf Mem Ches that when you have an Ashem Tali, you have to spend a lot more money than you spend on a carbon chatas. The Gemara says on a carbon chatas you could pay bas danka, which means literally a few pennies. If somehow you can find a behemoth for a few pennies, that's good enough. Why should that be the case? Explains the Ramah along the lines of this Rabbeinu Yonah. The reason why is because when I violate an aveira b'shogeg and I'm chayav chatas, I know that I've done something wrong. I'm going to begin the tshuva process because I recognize the fact that I made a mistake. But when a person violates in aveira, and now has to bring an Ashem Tali, he says, this is just part of the system. God tells me, if you have a case like this, you have to bring a carbon. But really, it's not, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just an Ashem Tali. I'm a Suffolk. I didn't really do anything wrong. And because we don't recognize the fact that we made a mistake in such a case, this is why you end up having to pay more money for an Ashem Tali, because your aveira is a lot worse. Because you're not going to recognize, and that will lead you not to really do a proper tshuva. This is also what some achronim say. This is the reason why we find the difference between the chet ha-meraglim and chet ha-egel. You think about it. Chet ha-meraglim, it says, we're punished forevermore, and this is something that every generation pays for. Chet ha-egel was so much worse. Chet ha-egel, you had the Jewish people serving Avodah Zarah. So why is it chet ha-egel all of a sudden, the Rebbeinu Shem says, Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha. Yeah, I'll get over it, it's okay. Chet ha-meraglim! Oh, you started with Eretz Yisrael? Sorry. What's the big aveira starting up with Eretz Yisrael? Okay, it's not a nice thing. It's not a good thing to do. But really? That's worse than Avodah Zarah. It's worse than Avodah Zarah to say Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Why is it that we're still paying back for the Chet HaMeraglim, whereas the Chet HaEgel we got over? And the answer that some Achronim say is along the same lines, because when it comes to the Chet HaMeraglim, that was not the first aveira that they ever did. The first aveira that the Jewish people did in the Midbar was the Chet HaEgel. And they realize after that, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he slams them and he says, are you guys crazy? You just had a Yetzias Mitzrayim, you just had everything. Look at all the miracles God's doing for you, and you go ahead and you make an egel, you serve Avodah Zarah. Imagine how humiliating it was for them. Imagine they just lost the Luchos. Imagine the experience in which they felt at that point in history. That was part of the tshuva process, and that was part of the kapara that they were going to get, because they felt humiliated. They felt so down about what they did. Now the second time comes to doing an Avera Chet HaMeraglim, no big deal, we'll violate the Avera, God will forgive us, everything's going to be fine. The first time they didn't know that God's going to forgive them. First time they did the Avera Chet HaMeraglim, it hit them so hard. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we got to work hard to do tshuva because we realize who said God's going to forgive us. After the first time that happened, and Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha, all of a sudden Averas are no big deal anymore. Comes to the Chet HaMeraglim, okay, we'll get over it. What's the big deal? God's going to forgive us anyway. So we did something wrong, we'll get around it. That's why there's a major difference between Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim. Again, because for a person to recognize, part of the tshuva process is just recognizing in the first place that we've done something wrong. And if we can't recognize in the first place that we've done something wrong, we're off to a bad start. And that aveira is going to be much more severe than the aveira that we would find by somebody else, even if the act per se might be worse, but the mindset that the person has when doing certain acts might be a little bit worse, even if the act is a little less severe. Kaddish.